Hey guys, welcome to the Vine Rant again. Hugo has a topic that you know he wants to talk about.
Boom, just throw it right at me.
But wait a second, before we go there, you know, it's funny, my son Maximus, every Monday he literally says, "Hey, can I watch a video?" I'm like, "What video are you talking about?" He knows about the Vine Rant. He actually watches the Vine Rant. You know,
he's number 25.
Vivi sometimes watches it too.
He's the only one hitting that thumbs up button. That's my dad.
I thought it was funny. You know, literally he said, "Hey, instead of reading a story, can we watch the Vine Rant?"
Because it'll put him to sleep for sure.
Well, he actually did, but
it is G-rated. So
good. Anyway, what are we talking about, Hugo?
So I was ordering an Uber on the way to work today. I was like, we live in an amazing world where we can order a cab off my phone.
You know, you sound like an infomercial right now, right?
I know. I'm trying to sell you the topic, though. and I was like, why don't we talk about the future of our business, the future of mortgage lending, where we see the trends and where we fully anticipate? Because here's the thing. In 5 years, the job as it is now is completely different.
Is it?
I think so.
No, I don't think so.
I think for somebody brand new to the industry, I think it's going to be a completely different world of mortgage. There'll be a lot more automation. There'll be a massive online presence. I mean, I don't know what the stats are. Maybe you guys know what the percentage of people who are doing initial searches online for mortgage lending. I think most of the research is done online in terms of rate comparison information before they even close the deal with you.
No, I understand that, but people probably Google other things as well. It doesn't mean they're actually doing it online and being automated.
But here's the thing, though. In the U.S.
No, but the thing is what you're saying is, are people online? So the stats prove that, yes, people are online. And the reason why big companies haven't been fully invested, like Google, in trying to create an online presence is because they realize that majority of them go back to a person. Because this is still a very stressful, emotional process in getting a mortgage for a residence, right?
Not just that, but it's
so complex. They go talk to a person. But how is the things going to change in the future? I agree with you. I think more people are going to go online and do the whole process online. And I think the broker market is going to be very automated.
It's just like car insurance, for instance. I like my insurance broker for that particular service. But if I went online, I had to answer 20 questions. But and they give you a bunch of solutions?
I disagree with you guys. And here's the difference.
Car insurance is different.
Car insurance is very different because car insurance is normally done yearly. You renew it yearly. And
but mortgage lending can be cookie cutter. For some people who just want a straight mortgage, okay, they want
so
a few
Hugo,
features.
When was the last time you had a deal with no exceptions? That was like cookie cutter deal. No. Answer
but
the question.
But we service a different market, so that's not really fair.
But do we? Because we're not the average brokerage either. A lot of our clients are AAA. So if we
But for that cookie cutter client, basic salary, he's got 20% down, good credit,
let me ask you the question right now, and I know, you know, we're arguing with each other, but this is good because it's a rant. Could you do your own mortgage online?
Yeah.
Could you?
Yeah.
You wouldn't need to put a special note or explain the situation. Like, are you really going to just go
I TDS. I know what I TDS for. If I just put that online, I can, boom, it's
I feel like I can do it online, but it'll say, please contact our team. About.
My point is half of the viewers are,
but doesn't matter. They don't need to know that.
How do you build your own business case?
What's the problem with doing an online mortgage right now? Here's the problem. No, there is.
No, there is.
The fundamental problem is somebody goes in and they say, hey, I make 100 grand a year or 150, whatever the case is.
Yeah.
And they get pre-qualified. And actually, we actually have two referrals this week of people who were pre-qualified online by a TD and a CIBC.
I had one from RBC.
And in both cases, they were rejected when they were firm on their purchase. Here's why. They put their $100,000 to $150,000 income. And then when they went to the bank says, oh, now that you bought, can I see your income documentation? Oh, I'm self-employed. Or in this case, the client was contract. In his words, I'm full-time contract. No, dude, full-time contract means self-employed.
Yeah.
There's no such thing as full-time contract.
But what about the other side
of it? So the client was a client. But here's the futurization. The future of underwriting isn't necessarily... The problem is the online app isn't collecting all the data. In the next 5 years, the tech exists. We have access. We as Vine Group already have access.
Yeah, I get it.
And we're in the process of implementing this ourselves. So in the future, in the next 5 years, we'll pull a credit bureau. The application will be 90% complete, if not 100% complete on your bureau
pull. With correct, accurate data.
The income information will be disclosed on your credit bureau report.
Sure.
Your CRA documents will automatically populate into the application. The system will cross-reference the T4s and the NOAs and the T1s. We're not going to ask the client for it. It'll be done automated. That will cross-reference the information and adjust the information on the application. Your bank statements can come up from source, so we verify your down payment, and we can verify your source of capital. So everything will be done. If you think that this that already exists and is already active in the U.S.,
but if
you don't think that banks are going to come on, it's going to come
on. I'm not saying that we're not capable of doing it. I'm saying it's not going to happen. I'll tell you
it's
why. No, it's not. Because
it's going to happen.
Okay, you underwrote
a denial.
Deal. Actually, I'll tell you why.
Okay, no. Let me finish. You underwrote the deal. You just underwrote the deal.
Yeah.
Okay. What bank do I go with? What term?
What strategy matter.
Do I use? No. Wait a second.
But no, if it's automated, it's gonna tell you who the lender.
But we still don't know.
We have that tech right now.
Okay, but I still don't know.
Right now, as you load an app, our app tells us what lenders fit.
I understand that. My point is, as a client, how do I know which one to pick? I still want to talk to a human.
You do, yes. But not everybody does, man.
But why, if you have 10 options, you honestly not going to want to know the difference as to what is best?
Why do you think that? Because systems will automatically send it out. They'll tell you this option has this feature.
That's why people are doing like automatic online investing, because there's a demand for this, dude.
People will do more.
I'm not
online.
Saying most people do. There's an impact on our business, and I'm saying that like process-wise is significantly improved. What David's saying about automated credit bureaus, docs, but where we still have massive value is in the advice, because you can definitely say between these four options, I'm going to pick this one because the system said this has higher prepayment. It's already calculated how much money I'll save. Some people are just like, that's cool. I'm good to go with that. We might still be able to add a lot more value and advice that the systems aren't even at a level yet.
Hugo.
But yeah, process-wise, you can't. You can
actually include that in your system. You can put in goals. Hey, do you plan on moving in the next 5 years? Yes or no? That could determine portability value.
Yeah, but those are easy goals.
Look, I'm sorry, but the reality is, are they going to still want to talk to a person? Yes, because it's a very emotional transaction.
That's all I'm saying.
Now, if you're asking about, but clients are going to be able to fulfill an application online. It will happen.
100%. That I'm in
agreement. Will they have the nerve to do it? Maybe not. But more importantly, why is it going to happen? Because banks are going to want to get rid of all the bullshit fraud that exists in our industry.
Sure, and minimize 100%. A lot of the overhead and admin staff that is not needed, which
guys,
they're already doing
guys,
anyways.
It's going to be a call center eventually.
I'm not disagreeing with you guys. What I'm saying is that it's not as easy as you think it is. And second of all, I don't believe clients are going to be that open to just trusting a computer.
The U.S.?
Here's the other thing.
Oh, I think
How many times do you get a call, hey, do I do bi-weekly accelerator or do I do just bi-weekly?
Never. Almost rarely. Someone
very rare. Oh, come on.
It's not rare. Common question. But
it is. Like, and I understand that you can put all that data, but people still want to. This is the biggest transaction. This is not car insurance.
Here's a better question. How many people do you physically meet throughout the whole year, percentage-wise, how many people have you actually met?
You meet every client.
We meet every client.
We meet everybody.
In person. We shake their hands.
At some point, we'll meet them. But let's say that... I just messed up my question. We're going to have to edit this.
There's no editing.
Okay, We're not editing.
Realistically.
Listen.
How many conversations do you have via the phone or email?
A lot of clients.
Most of them.
Most of your conversations are
over phone.
Because
people want to do this over the phone.
But you're right. You just say yourself, it's a conversation.
Over the phone?
Right, it's a conversation.
Yeah. I can have a bot. I can have an online bot. Listen, bi-weekly is the way to
go. How many people fill out online application with you? Pretty much all of them?
Pretty much all my clients.
A big chunk of them do online
apps. Right, do you still talk to them?
Of course.
Eventually. Do you need to talk to them?
Dude, yes. Some people I've never spoken to.
Well, that's my point.
To everybody and meet everybody on the phone, but some people don't want to have a conversation at all. It's been exclusively email.
But you're still having a conversation. You're still going back and forth. That's exactly my point. Just because you're conversing on email or phone call or mail or whatever the case you want to be, it doesn't mean you're not having that conversation.
But I don't think you can disagree or argue
that
the future is going to shift to automated.
Yes.
And there'll be a lot of business that'll be completely automated. I'm not saying we'll be replaced immediately.
I think this is what's going to happen.
We will eventually.
I think we're both right. It's going to get the futurizations here where it's going to be a lot more automated, and it's going to weed out the people that are just transactional.
Yes.
Yeah. But the people that are giving advice, they're still going to be there. I mean,
I agree with you.
It's not just...
I'm not saying that we would be replaced.
So I'm
just
welcoming
saying
all that. But I'm telling you, a lot of my clients, a lot of your clients, a lot of our clients collectively come to us because of advice. I am sorry. They don't come to us because
of... Some people come to you because of your beard, dude.
But you know what I mean. Like
every mortgage comes with a beard.
Am I? No,
you're right. We're in the advisory business. We see that all the time, right? And I think, we can look at our stats and we know what our quality clients are and stuff, and our average TDS. So we know that yes, our clients are using us for advice. That is the core. But the industry as a whole, as there is a whole core of people out there who just kind of fit the algorithm perfectly. There, those brokers who are out there who are just pushing the cheapest rate, I'm going to be replaced by
a computer. 100%.
Yeah. They're going to be replaced by an algorithm and their business is going to be completely destroyed.
But I'm also saying you shouldn't actually kid yourself if you don't think that that algorithm will get more sophisticated and it'll be able to do slightly more complex deals. For some people who don't necessarily, you know, they're like, you can get a better rate. We'll give you some decent advice, but you'll get a slightly better rate than speaking to a, some people will just care about the rate, unfortunately. That's the reality.
The reality now, okay, the thing is, the only reason why the algorithms are not working in their fullest capacity right now and you can't do a full application, and the reason why lenders don't trust it is because they're not verifying the documentation. But over the next little while, as regulars get more comfortable and allow us to do that, and you pull all that information and upload it, you can literally automate the whole application.
Okay, well, here's a fact.
And then it becomes a question about just a couple of tweaking.
Here's a fact.
Right, so and some customers are still want that voice.
And it's going to happen.
But there's going to be a lot of people who are just going to say, hey, if I can do this and get an app fully committed in 20 minutes, I don't want to have this long in-depth conversation with you.
I understand that.
That's going to happen.
But you know, you upload the wrong document. You upload something.
You don't have to upload the document. We're going to get it from source. I don't need your T4. We'll get it right from CRA.
I don't need your doctor T4.
Sure, but what if you just start a new employer?
And now doesn't matter. Your credit bureau will be updated on a regular basis.
Dude, there's a certain level of risk that the banks accept and understand is going to be there.
Hey, I feel like there's always
the credit bureau companies already came out and said they're all going to be updating employment statistics and income.
And I agree with that.
Accurately and consistently.
Sure. But my point is that there still has to be a human touch.
Well, there would be human touch for those that are more complex, that are way outside the box.
But what deals are not complex nowadays?
Nah,
but come on.
I think that not every deal is complex.
Dude, you know, okay, as a percentage.
Every deal is slightly complex. Every deal is
My deals
are pretty challenging. They're not
every deal is challenging. But even with underwriting changing, the rules. Lenders themselves don't understand their own underwriting
guidelines. Dude, here's a fact. We can look to the U.S. for where Canada is usually moving in terms of technology and innovation. One of their largest lenders is primarily doing online lending only, completely automated. You know, you do a tax return through QuickBooks. I don't know what they call it down there. Maybe it's QuickBooks. By the end of the QuickBooks, they've already done all your info and they have all your info. They can pre-approve you at the multiple lenders. So the US is already doing this. And I would not be surprised if this technology is
We already have it.
Not at the scale they're doing it, but eventually
it's just a matter of getting approved by regulators, right? It's just getting approval on it.
It's coming, man.
It exists. We've had meetings. We have meetings for the artificial intelligence that we're putting into our systems right now, you know. So we know what's out there. We've had in-depth meetings with some very, very influential people in the tech space who are telling us what they've been, what's out there, what is available to the world right now. But what's available is only being used at a fraction, a small fraction.
Yeah.
Once everybody gets their heads around the comfort of using artificial intelligence,
100%.
It's not even going to, and they make it so easy for the consumer. You're kidding yourself if you think the consumer.
But people are not looking for results. People are looking for advice. And unfortunately, AI right now is not anywhere close to that.
I think advice, I think there's a lot, a certain level of complexity on commercial deals.
The AI
deals
is getting pretty good though, man. Have you ever called Apple for anything? Like an Apple, there's a robot that answers the phone and I can talk like a human.
I get it.
I can say anything I want to them, so, and they'll get me to the right person.
So can I be like, Hugo, I own this many properties, this is my portfolio, should I buy commercial or residential next?
See, but that's a niche client. That's not the majority.
Okay.
Most people don't even have a rental
property. That's 5-10% of our demographic.
No, let's go
down for us. We were probably one of the biggest presents in that space.
Right, let's change it then. Okay, I'm having problems keeping up with my mortgage payments. Been fine, no issues, still have a good Beacon score. My lifestyle is this. Really, I know the banks approve me for this much, but how much realistically should I go?
Okay, but
should I move in with my mom? Should I maybe do a rental suite and get some extra income?
Again, these are niche clients.
No, they're not.
They are. They're not niche to you because your demographics, but the reality is they're not majority of the transactions in the marketplace.
I don't know.
Yeah, we could go back and forth all day. At the end of the day, we're making predictions based on our experience. But we haven't really mentioned, aside from automation, what are some other trends you see going into the mortgage business? Because all we really talked about is automation and AI. What else do you think?
All right, no, I
think things will get harder.
I think lending is obviously going to get a little bit more difficult. I think we're reverting back, and I think our next rant we could talk about how old is new, you know, because we're going back to lending practices from 12, 15 years ago.
Give me an example.
Well, here's a prime example. Right now, if people have a line of credit that they don't utilize,
you know,
we're not having to put a factor payment in that for most lenders.
Right.
Though some lenders are now coming out, and I would suspect that all lenders by the end of next year are going to request a factor payment.
Which is common sense.
Well, which
but it's currently not applicable.
So think about how many clients have gotten a mortgage for a rental property, you know, or a secondary residence, and they have this $100 or $1 million line of credit that was never factored into the debt service.
Because the balance is zero.
Exactly. Now, in the future, we're going to have to put a factor payment for that limit. Yeah. So you're going to start having conversations in the marketplace. Brokers and bankers are going to start talking to their clients and saying, hey, you know that credit line that you have there? We're going to have to reduce that. You know that unsecured credit line? We're going to have to close that. You know that credit card that you have? You have to reduce the limit on that. That second credit card, you need to close that. Even if they're not, if they're making all their payments on time. Because the whole world, the big concern moving forward in the next 5 or 10 years is going to be access to credit and how you utilize your credit. And that's the new clamping down. And I would even argue with you, if we were to look back the last 5 years of all the stuff that has come in and restrictions about lending, it's all actually been going towards this moment where it's going to be restriction on access to credit. Mm-hmm. I think you're going to find...
And yet you think it's going to be automated.
Yeah, because you can automate that. You know, you're going to get the call because they're going to go, I don't want to close my line of credit.
Back to my point.
But they're still going to have to close their line of credit.
You know what I don't get?
You're honestly, 30 days.
You know what I don't get, honestly, is there's so much regulation on credit for housing and, you know, real estate in general.
But not for credit cards?
No, forget credit cards. How about cars? You know... You can literally go walk in. If you have a good credit score, they just literally ask you, how much do you make? Don't need an employment letter. Don't need pay stubs. Why isn't government clamping down on that? Because if anything,
because typically, you're not going to go bankrupt because you missed your payment.
I don't know. $10,000 car. But credit is still credit. Are you going to pay off your mortgage before your car?
If you don't pay off your car, then
I think you'll hand your car in before you lose your house, right?
I think that's a valid point. I think it's different.
But that's also a depreciating asset.
But what about credit card debt in general? Like actually credit cards?
I think we're going to have to save that for our next conversation. You know, we're otherwise everyone's going to get anyway, tired.
If you're thinking of buying a car, buy it after you finance your home.
Yeah. Don't get a car lease or a new car payment if you're in the middle of trying to buy a home. You know, so on that note,
I think we're done
for today, and I think we can definitely bring this topic back tomorrow. It's going to be a hot topic.
You know, so. After we turn this off, we're still going at the whole futurization.
I'm going back to work.
Bye, guys. Thank you.
Take care, guys.